Some people walk in and they're like, wait, I get to eat while I'm listening and I get to drink coffee. I'm like, after you get to know me, you'll understand that you get to drink coffee in anything that you do here at Hoboken Grace. And I mean, I don't think it's fair that the band did what they did this morning and then they want me to talk after that. I mean, both this week and last week, I don't know if you're with us last week, I was complaining to Ryan afterwards. It was unbelievable how powerful the worship was, and I was like literally crying over here, and I lost a contact, and I said, Ryan, you can't do this to me. Like, I walked up there last week, I can only see out of one eye, but it's been an unbelievable week here at Hoboken Grace. I mean, God's opened so many doors for us to be able to love people, and I just want to kind of share this stuff with you guys before we go any further, because mainly because I just can't wait any longer. This week, we're able to do so many different things. Right now, our small service acts of kindness are in full swing across the community. Maybe some of you are here for the first time because you got a breakfast bar at the PATH train this week, or a water bottle. It was 100 degrees out this week, so we're like, we have to go to the PATH train with water bottles. Like, you can't miss those 100 degree days, and it was great to be down there. And then also this week, we held our first baseball camp, and we had a baseball camp back in the housing authority for about, depending on which day, it was anywhere from about 25 to 50 kids that were part of this baseball camp this week, which was awesome. And then at the end of the camp, we threw a big block party for everybody who was a part of that, and we recently had a church give us all sorts of stuff for a block party. So we had this giant blow-up house out there, and all this, it was just awesome. We just got to love these kids and love these kids and love these kids. And today we're going to be talking about loving God. And one of the ways that God tells us that we get the opportunity, or that we have the chance to be able to love him, is through loving children. And there's a point at which he's talking to his disciples. He says, you know, whatever you do to the least of these, you do unto me. And when he says these, he's actually talking about children. And so this week we had the chance to be able to do that. And then yesterday, if you missed it, the dog party was awesome. And some of you walked in here for the first time today, you're like, dog party? What kind of church did I come to? And we announced this on Hoboken 411, and there was a comment on the blog of someone who actually thought that we were inviting dogs to the service. So I was like, no, I think they missed the point of this thing. And so dogs aren't allowed in the service here, in case you're under that illusion. But it was just an awesome day, and we had several hundred people who were out there and just loving and serving the community. And there was a reporter who came up to me afterwards, and he said, you know, is this kind of how you grow your church? And I said, to be honest with you, like, we've had a few people visit from the dog party, and I'm sure we'll have more visit because of it, but that's not really why we do it. And if no one came from the dog party, I'm telling you, and this is who we are, right? We don't love because of what it accomplishes, or because of Jesus Christ didn't die on the cross because everybody was going to say yes to him. We love because that's what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ loved those who were going to say yes, and Jesus Christ loved those who were going to look at it and walk away. And I said, the truth is, we'd keep doing this dog party if nothing ever came of it, but it's a great way for us to be able to love our community. And it was just, I mean, it was awesome. And this whole week has been awesome, just loving and loving and loving. And that, I mean, that's what this is all about, right? And if today is your first time here and just kind of checking out Hoboken Grace and you wonder what this church is all about, that's it. That's our goal. That's our mission. And that's going to be our mission as we continue to move forward, to love our community in astronomical ways, and to live out exactly what we find in 1 Peter, where he says, listen, you need to love those who hate you, you need to love those that you get along with, you need to love those that you don't get along with. And he says, and sometimes people are going to ask you why. He says, and when they do, then you be ready to answer, and you be ready to explain to them the hope that you have, that you've been loved by God in such an incredible way. And this week we had the chance to be able to live that out here inside of our city. And so before we go any further today, I wanted to communicate that to you, to say thank you to all of you who made that possible, to all of you who served this week and loved this week. And I And I want to, before we go any further in our conversation, to go to God and just say thank you to Him. And to thank Him for the opportunity to be able to communicate His love to our neighbors. Will you pray with me? Father, this morning, I just continue to be overwhelmed by this invitation that You've given us to be able to step into this relationship with You and not only experience Your love, but then begin to demonstrate and show that love to the world around us. And Father, I pray that You will continue to challenge us, continue to stretch us in what it means to love like You love. Continue to teach us how to love You and how to love those around us. And may we be known by our love. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today we're continuing our personal conversation, and for the last few weeks we've been diving into this question of how personal is our relationship with God, and what does this look like. And today I'm excited because this week is kind of part two of last week, and we're talking about, okay, how do I begin to put this in practice, like, day to day? What does this look like tomorrow, this idea of loving God? And I love these conversations because I'm a very practical person. I'm a very hands-on person. I want to dive into things. I don't like just talking about things. I want to experience things. And I was really excited this week because we have a missions team here who's kind of helping us love and serve our community. And they rented a Town and Country, a Chrysler Town and Country minivan. And you're like, why are you so excited about that? This is my dream car, right? This is my wife's greatest nightmare and my dream car, right? And I've had the chance to be able to read about it and see it, but the missions team rented this minivan. And so they show up with the van, and I'm like, oh, this is awesome. So I'm like kind of looking around the inside and looking at all the buttons and how you can open doors without even getting out of the car, right? And it's just, it's incredible. And I'm checking it out, and for me, like, I want to be in there. I want to be able to see it and test everything and see how everything works. And the missions team was like looking at me, and they're like, it's 100 degrees out here, Chris. Let's go, right? But I love that. I love the practical side of things, and I love to be able to look at, okay, how does this change tomorrow? And one of the things that's so misrepresented about this message that Jesus Christ has given us is that there are so many people in our world that look at this and say that it's irrelevant. But the truth is, I don't know anything that impacts tomorrow more than what we find inside this book. And if we walk out of here and we finish this personal series and it doesn't change tomorrow morning, I'm not okay with that. And I believe that what God's Word says to us and this whole journey that we're on, I believe that this drastically changes our tomorrow. And so today we're going to dive into that and look at, okay, how do I begin to put this into action? And throughout this series, we've been talking about the incredible ways that God's loved us. We've been talking about how God's given and given and given to us and how personal our relationship with Him is. And last week, as we kind of took our next step in that journey, we talked about this incredible situation where in this relationship, we have the ability to actually impact the heart of our God with the decisions that we make. And we looked at how in God's Word, it tells us that we have the ability to bring joy to the heart of our Creator. We have the ability to bring sorrow to our God with the decisions that we make. And we looked at how while God's love for us never changes and while God's value of us never changes, our actions do have the ability to bring joy or sorrow to the heart of our Creator. And today what I want to do is I want to kind of dive into that and look at, okay, how do we, if that's true then, if we have that ability to bring joy or sorrow, how do we begin to live lives that bring joy? And how do we begin to experience that kind of personal relationship? And if you don't understand what I mean by that, for me, when I came to the realization that I had the ability to bring joy or sorrow to the heart of my Creator, it made things so much more personal. And this week, I experienced that because I used to volunteer back at the Jubilee Center, and there were about five or six kids that I worked with every single week. And every single week they'd come in and I'd kind of work with them in their homework or try to work with them in their homework. And they would try to get away from me and I would try to bring them back to the table and work on our homework. And for about 4 or 5 months, I get to know those kids really, really well. And this week we put on that baseball clinic and we had that block party. And as I was sitting there at that block party and these kids were coming in from the Jubilee Center and from the surrounding area, like I wanted to love all those kids. Right? And I really wanted them to enjoy what was happening. I wanted them to really have a blast that afternoon. And I wanted us to care for all of those kids. But I kept watching that gate for 4 kids. And when those 4 kids walked in there, like they had an incredible ability to bring joy to my heart or sorrow to my heart by whether or not they enjoyed that day. And as that block party played out, I kept looking to them, right, to see, are they enjoying it? Are they having a great time, right? Why? Because it was personal. Because I had a personal relationship with those kids. I loved all those kids, but I had a personal relationship with those kids, and so it affected me. And so when I realized that I had the ability to affect the heart of my God, I realized just how personal it was. And so as we walk in today, what I want to look at is, okay, knowing that, knowing how personal it is, then how do we begin to love our God? How do we begin to bring joy to our God? How do we step into this invitation where God is continually acting in love towards us, and we now have the chance to continually act in love towards Him? And relationships are tricky, right? I mean, anytime you're stepping into a relationship, it's tricky because you have the first move and someone has to make the first step, right? And someone has to initiate the contact. And that's always an awkward part of the relationship, that first move and that first step. And so all the time, especially because we have such a young church here, like people will have conversations with me about relationships all the time. And I can't really share with other people what's happening in these conversations. And so I find myself in an awkward situation sometimes because I'll know who likes who. I know everybody of who likes who. It's really an awkward situation as a pastor. And sometimes you'll have this situation where you know that two people really like each other, but neither one of them wants to make a first move. And I'm just sitting back like, come on, let's get this over with already, right? Somebody make the first move. But it can always be awkward, right? And so you're sitting there at the party, and you see this girl across the room, and she sees you, and she smiles at you. But you're like trying to figure out, is she smiling at me, or like the guy behind me, or the guy beside me, right? And it can be awkward. It looks something like this.
A pint.
You want me?
Me.
You okay? You're fine. No, don't worry about it.
Maybe not exactly like that. Hopefully not exactly like that. But the first move can always be awkward. And that's one of the great things about the relationship that we have with God. And that's why when we began this series, we began it the way that we did. And we walked through how God has loved us. We walked through how God has given His life for us. We walked through the fact that He knows me exactly how I am. And He still came for me. He didn't leave me. You see, God's already made the first move. And one of the really cool things about this relationship is that the first move has already been made. God's already come for you. He's already given His life for you. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. And in this relationship, we don't have to worry about that. We get to step into it knowing He's already demonstrated this love for us. And so as we walk through this today and we look at, okay, how do I begin to put this in action? You see, the first thing that you need to do, the first thing that you need to experience isn't that you need God to love you more. You see, for most of us, it isn't that we need God to love me more. It's not that I need God to show me more of His love. God's already made the first move. It's not that you need more from God. The truth is, the problem is, and if we're going to begin to put this into action, it's not that we need God to love us more, it's that we need to remember how He's loved us. And if we're going to begin to live this out, the first thing that has to happen in our lives is we need to make a conscious effort of remembering how He's loved us. And inside your program today, you've got a little notes card, and I just want to ask you to take that out and just kind of jot these down as we walk through these and say, okay, tomorrow morning, when I wake up on Monday morning, how am I going to begin to put this in practice? How am I going to begin to live this out? Number one, how do I move forward? I begin to remember how He's loved me. That's why we began the series this way, because I wanted you to remember how He's loved you. I wanted you to remember that He's made this first move. It's one of the reasons why every single week here at Hoboken Grace, we have communion. It's one of the reasons Jesus Christ gave us the Lord's Supper, because He wanted us to continually remember what He's done for us. And as we were talking this through, as a part of our staff, I had a conversation with one of my friends, and he was like, you know, that's so true, because the first thing that happens in my journey away from God is that I forget. And I think that's true for every single one of us. The first thing that happens in our journey away from God, our journey away from loving God, is that we forget. And one of the most frustrating books in the Bible is the book of Judges. Because in Judges, over and over and over again, you see that they forget. Listen to just a couple of the verses at the beginning of Judges. Judges 2:10, it says, after that generation died, another generation grew up who did not acknowledge the Lord or remember the mighty things He had done for Israel. They forgot. Judges 3:7, just one chapter later, the Israelites did evil in the Lord's sight. They forgot about the Lord their God, and they served the images of Baal and the Asherah poles. The first step and our journey away from loving God is always that we forget. And so if we're going to begin to put this in practice, if we're going to begin to live this out, we have to make a conscious effort to remember over and over and over again. You need to build things into your life that cause you to remember. Remember how God loved you. Remember how God gave to you. And I'm not just talking about the way that He gave His life for you. God is constantly showering us with love. And so this morning, even before we began, I wanted to share with you what God did this week. Why? Because we need to continue to remember how God's loving us. Remember how God's opening doors for us. A couple weeks ago was my anniversary. I've been married for 4 years now. And one of the coolest things that we did on the night of our anniversary is we just sat down and I said, what's your favorite memory of the last 4 years? And for about an hour, we just went back and forth. We just went from the next one, the next one, the next one. All of them started with the honeymoon, and then they just kept going from there. But we're taking time to remember. And if we're going to begin to fall in love with our God, if we're going to begin to live this out and live lives that bring joy to His heart, we've got to make a conscious effort of over and over and over again remembering, right? But part of the reason that it's hard for us to remember is that we miss out on the second thing. And the second thing that we have to do if we're going to begin to put this into practice is we have to begin to celebrate the moments of love that we've experienced. Christians are really bad at parties. I mean, we really are. And like, on a personal note here, this is my weakest point as we walk through this today. I am terrible at celebrating. As soon as I get done with something that's successful, I'm looking at what do we need to do next? Where do we need to go next? What do we need to accomplish next? But if we're going to begin to live this out, if we're going to fall in love with our God, I believe we have to begin to celebrate the moments that He's loved us. There's an incredible story in God's Word of how God provided for the nation of Israel. And as He's taking care of this nation of Israel, there's this moment in their history where He takes them out of slavery in Egypt and He leads them across the Red Sea. He actually parts the Red Sea for them to be able to walk through on dry land to get to the other side. And they get to the other side, and I'm telling you, if I had been leading the nation of Israel, we would have got to the other side, and I would have said, okay, God, what do you want us to do next? That's how bad I am at this. Right? But that's not what the nation of Israel does. As a matter of fact, as the nation of Israel gets to the other side, we read this incredible passage. It says, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the people of Israel sang this song to the Lord. And they write this incredible song about what just happened. And right now, our worship arts team is beginning to come together and beginning to form, and more artists are becoming part of our community here. I can't wait for the day when we have a week like what we just had, and we're able to write a song about it. We've got to begin to celebrate those moments of love. And as you continue with that passage, you not only read that song, but then you read about this party that they throw. And there's all sorts of dancing and craziness. And you're like, there's dancing in the Bible? Yes, there's a lot of dancing in the Bible. And we've got to begin to celebrate more. We've got to begin to party more when these things happen. Next week, we're having a baptism here, and we're going to see several people come up here and communicate the fact that they've given their life to Christ. And I'm telling you, next week, as we walk through this, I was like, Chris, you got to do something different for that baptism. This has got to be a party. And so next week when we walk in here, I'm going to do everything that we can to make sure that this is a party. We're not just going to walk through this, but we're going to celebrate what God's done. And we've got to begin to do that more and more and more. And one of the reasons that it's hard for us to remember is that we go through these experiences where God loves us, but we don't celebrate it and we keep moving on. But if we were to begin to make it a habit to celebrate when God loves us, I guarantee you it would be easier for us to remember. I guarantee you it would be easier for us to look back and remember how God loves us. Because we don't forget parties. And there are a lot of different ways that we can do this. And we talk about remembering. There are a lot of really simple, practical ways that you can put this into your life. One is journaling. If you don't journal, journaling is one of those tools that you can begin to build into your life where you'll begin to remember and you'll be able to go back later on in your year and say, okay, how has God loved me? Because I guarantee you that you go through the same thing I go through. And there are weeks when I'm sitting there and I'm frustrated and I look at my life and I'm like, God hasn't loved me in years. It's been about 2 weeks since I've experienced something incredible. But there are moments in your life when you look at it and you're like, man, it seems like forever since I've experienced God, and you need things to be able to look back, and journaling is one of those things where if you begin that, you'll be able to open up that book and say, oh, wait a second, look at what God did here. Wait a second, look at what God did here. And begin to put that into practice. In our dinner groups, we've got to begin to get better at throwing parties when things happen. And all the time I'm hearing stories of what's happening in people's lives inside of our dinner groups, dinner group leaders, I'm included in this. We've got to get better at throwing parties when great things happen in the lives of our people. Because we have to celebrate it. The next thing that we have to do after we begin to remember and then we begin to celebrate is that we have to begin to take advantage of every chance that we have to experience His love. In Psalms, David says this. He says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. David said, I was so excited when they said that we were going in to worship our God, because David wanted to seize every single chance that he had to experience the love of God. In the life of Jesus Christ, we read a story that shares this with us again. It's found in the book of Luke. It says, as Jesus and the disciples continued on their way to Jerusalem, they came to a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed them into her home. Her sister Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he taught, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come help me. But the Lord said to her, my dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There's only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it and it will not be taken away from her. See, Mary figured out that this life is about taking advantage of every opportunity that you have to experience God's love. And if we're going to begin to fall in love with God, you've got to begin to take advantage of every opportunity. And you talk about dinner groups and here on Sunday. And for some of you, you walk in here on Sunday and your experience of God, your experience of God's love is limited because the only time that you ever experience Him is here. And I'll be honest with you, my heart goes out to you because your relationship with God is going to be limited to exactly what your relationship with another person would be if you only talk to that person once a week. And if you're not taking advantage of the opportunity to be able to experience God's love throughout your day, throughout the week, your experience of Him here is going to be limited. But the amazing thing about this is that when you begin to do as Mary did and you begin to come to God, every single chance that you get, every single time you can, all of a sudden you'll find out that even your experience in those times, it begins to grow. It begins to multiply. And when you begin to take advantage of those other chances to experience His love, all of a sudden you'll walk in here on Sunday morning and you'll be blown away by how much you experience His love here. But you have to take every single chance. But sometimes, and you guys know this as well as I do, sometimes you just don't feel like it. And as you go throughout your week this week, I almost guarantee you that even coming out of this morning, as you go through your week this week, there are going to be mornings where you're going to wake up and days that you're going to walk through where you're just not going to feel like it. And that feeling could be based on a lot of different things. I find it amazing that we make so many decisions in our lives based on how we feel. Because how we feel has nothing to do with what's true. How we feel has more to do with what we ate last night. And so you decided to go to the taco truck and you feel terrible today. Some of you slept 2 or 3 hours last night and you're like, man, I just don't understand why I'm not experiencing God on Sunday morning. You're like basically falling over when you walk out. Your feelings aren't based on what's true. It's based on what's going on with you physically. And there are all sorts of different things that play into that. And I guarantee you that this week there are going to be times when you don't feel like taking advantage of that opportunity to experience God's love. But you have to begin to act in love, even when you don't feel love. And this is true in the relationships that we have with one another, just as it's true in our relationship with God. And so we see, again in Luke 6:35, as Jesus is talking to His followers, He says, love your enemies, do good to them, lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for He is kind to those who are unfaithful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. I love how that verse plays out, because He doesn't start and say, you need to have compassion on those who hate you. He starts and He says, you need to love those who hate you. And then by the time He gets to the end of it, then He's talking about the feelings. Most of us live our lives and we act on what we feel, believing that we can't change the way we feel. But when you begin to dive into this book and you begin to live out what you see here in Luke 6:35 and you begin to love, even when you don't feel like it, you'll find out that the truth is, if you act before you love, your feelings will begin to follow your actions. I remember the time that I experienced this the most in my life, and I was in college, and I was leading a wilderness trip, and they wanted me to lead this trip with all these people in my school that I had never met before, all these people who were part of this honors group in our school that I barely knew their names. And for me, this was really overwhelming because it's really easy for me to come in here on Monday or on Sunday and to be able to talk to you guys, right? Because I know a lot of you guys. I really care about you. There's been a time where we've built a relationship. But for me, I was like, God, how in the world am I going to be as caring about these guys as I need to be walking into this trip? I don't even know who they are. And God said, I want you to walk into this, and the first day, I just want you to begin to love these guys, and I want you to pray for these guys for the 5 days leading up to this trip. I want you to pray for them 3 times a day. And I was like, how do I pray for someone I don't even know? But I began to act. And I began to put that into practice, and I began to pray for them. And then the first day we got in there, I was like, all right, I'm going to do everything that I can to love these guys. And I'm telling you, it was amazing how I began to care for those guys on that trip. And some days this week, you're going to wake up and you're going to be like, man, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like I love God. If you begin to act, you say, okay, God, I'm going to act. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe you. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to do this to love you. Even when you don't feel like it, I promise you, the feeling will come. But you have to act first. The next thing that we have to do as we're walking through this and putting this into practice is that you have to begin to surround yourself with people who love God. In Proverbs, it says, there are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says, and let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You have to begin to surround yourself with people who love God. Because on those days when you don't feel like it, you have to begin to see God working in their lives. And this is one of the reasons why we have dinner groups. This is one of the reasons why over and over and over again, I'm telling you guys, get plugged into a dinner group. Because there has to be people around you who love God. And let me be very clear on this, guys, because there's a difference. I'm not talking about people who know a lot about God. I'm not telling you to surround yourself with people who know a lot about God. That's not what you're looking for. Surround yourself with people who love God. And when you find someone who loves God, I don't care if you have to invite yourself over all the time. Invite yourself over. If it means that you have to clean their house in order to be near them, clean their house. Do whatever you can, but surround yourself with those people. Because it will begin to wear off. Not people who know about God, people who love God. That's what our dinner groups are all about. If you're not plugged into a dinner group yet, make sure that you take advantage of that. The dinner group table is right out back. It's a perfect place to begin surrounding yourself with people who love Him. And then the last one, and this is the one that I really want to focus on today. We have to begin to develop a short memory with a focused vision. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians 3, verse 13. It says, "No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. But I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead." As you begin to walk through this journey and you begin to say, okay, God, how can I begin to live a life that loves God? How can I begin to live a life that brings joy to the heart of my God and my Creator? How can I begin to make the most of this relationship, this personal relationship? You have to begin to develop a short memory with a focused vision. And what I mean by that is this. Some of you want to fall in love with God. You want to care for God. You want to make decisions that are bringing joy to the heart of your Creator. But you are wrapped up in your past. And every single time you begin down this journey, you make a mistake and Satan comes into your life and says, look at what you did. Look at what you did. Look at what you did yesterday. Look at what you did last week. You're never going to be able to love God with your life. And he's going to begin to lie to you about all sorts of things, things that we talked about last week. And he's going to begin to tell you, God doesn't love you because of what you did. Look at how you hurt God. God doesn't love you anymore. He's going to begin to lie to you and say, you're not valuable to God anymore because of what you did. Look at what you did. Look at how you failed. Look at how you hurt him. And he's going to keep you focused on what's behind you. He's going to keep you focused on yesterday. He's going to keep you focused on last week. Because he knows as long as you're focused on last week, you're not going to take advantage of today. And he knows as long as you're focused on yesterday, you're not going to be prepared for tomorrow. And if he can get you to get all wrapped up in the mistakes that you made yesterday, he knows you'll make mistakes today. But here's the amazing thing about this journey, guys. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, when you step into this relationship, when you say, okay, God, I trust you that you gave your life for me. I trust you that you came for me. There's only one thing in our rearview mirror. There's only one thing behind us. And when you look at yesterday, there's only one thing you should see. And that's the cross of Jesus Christ. Because whatever you did yesterday, Jesus Christ has already taken the place of. And when God looks at your yesterday, he sees the cross. And when God looks at the mistakes you made last week, he sees the cross. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes we need to look in that rearview mirror and look at the decisions that we made, and it should drive us to our knees because we see how much he loves us. And every time you look behind you, it should overwhelm you with how much he loves you. And when Satan comes in and says, look at what you did, look at what you did, it should drive you forward. Because you can look right back at him and say, Jesus Christ took my place. Jesus Christ died for that. And so you're able to do exactly what Paul talks about. And you're able to forget what's behind. And you're able to look at what's ahead. And you look in that rearview mirror and you see that cross. And you turn away and you look at what lies ahead of you and you say, I'm going to take advantage of every chance I have today to love him. Because of how he's loved me. One of the most amazing things in growing up, I was a big basketball fan. And I loved basketball. And this week there was all sorts of craziness that happened in the NBA. And if I don't know if you guys follow that at all, but there are all sorts of superstars who came together on one team. And there's three guys who now play for the same team, LeBron James and Chris, not Chris Bosh, LeBron James and Dwayne Wade. Who's the third one? It is Bosh? Great. But now they all came together on the same team. And as a kid, I used to watch those guys. And I was amazed by their talent. And I was amazed by everything that they could do physically. But as I began to grow up, I began to realize something about those guys. And I learned to have an incredible appreciation, especially for really good shooters. Guys like Kobe Bryant. Guys like Dwayne Wade. Because one of the things that I began to realize about them is that they had an incredible ability to forget what was behind them. And to prepare for what was ahead of them. And as a basketball player, I always struggled because I was always focused on the shot that I just missed. And I'd get super frustrated. And I'd get really angry with myself. And I'd be like, man, I can't believe I missed that shot. I can't believe it. I'm blowing this. And it would destroy me during the games. And the coaches would come up to me afterwards and they'd talk. And they'd be like, you got to be able to just let it go and move forward. One of the things that I began to really appreciate about these guys is their ability during a game to be able to make mistakes, but to completely forget about it and look at what's right ahead in front of them. And if there's one thing that you grab a hold of today, it's this. Satan wants to do everything in your life to keep you focused on that rearview mirror. But you'll never fall in love with God, focused on the mistakes that you made yesterday. And if you can begin to look in that rearview mirror and see that cross and develop that short memory, and to do as Paul says here, to forget what's behind, I'm telling you, you'll begin to fall in love with God like nothing you've ever experienced. And as we walk into tomorrow, and you say, okay, how do I begin to run into the arms of the God who's loved me this much? We have to begin to remember the ways that He's loved us. We have to begin to celebrate everything that He's done for us, all the different ways that He's poured out His love for us. We have to take every chance to experience that love. We have to act in love when we don't feel the love. We have to surround ourselves with others who love Him. And we have to develop a short-term memory with a clear mission and a clear focus. That's the invitation. The invitation from a God who's given everything for you. And as we look to the future before us, and as you look to this week, and as you look to this month, you have the chance to begin to live in love in that relationship. And we have the chance to begin to make the decisions that we make in our lives, not because it's what's right or what's wrong, not because it's what's best for us, but because I want to do everything that I can to love Him. It's time for us to move to something greater. It's time for us to move to something deeper. It's time for us to begin to fall in love. Will you pray with me? Father, You've invited us into this relationship as Your sons and daughters. And we look at what we've been talking about, the incredible ways that You've loved us. Father, we want to fall in love. And as we look at that cross, and as we look at everything that You've done to take our place, we want to move into today, we want to move into this week, we want to move into this month, to give You everything that we have, and to wrap our arms around You the way that You've wrapped Your arms around us. Father, our hearts, our lives, it's all Yours. We want to be all Yours. In Jesus' name.